Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. I'm joined today by my guest, Barry O'Sullivan from O'Sullivan Fitness. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Brian. Hey, guys.
Barry's probably my best guest for today's episode because we're going to talk about how to build your life around the things that make you happy. This isn't a become a personal trainer episode. This isn't become a fitness person episode. This is a bit more lifestyle, freestyle on how to basically build your life around the things that you love to do. I regularly quote on my Facebook and Snapchat. It's one of my favorite quotes. I can't remember where I got it from, but where if you decide on the things in life that make you the happiest, do more of that and find the things that make you unhappy, do less of that. You're going to lead a much happier life. I try and live a lot of my life by that. Barry has just made the switch out. If you've been following the podcast for a while, Barry was working in a factory and starting to do his side hustle, which is his personal training business, and he just made the transition out and is now doing that full time. As I said, it's not going to be a personal training episode. This is for people building their life around the things that they love to do. Barry, what made you make that jump? What made you make that initial or that inevitable, that's it, I'm doing it now. I'm making the jump.
I suppose probably similar to yourself, I realized that I was doing something I didn't really like. And if I kept doing it, nothing was going to change. So I kind of figured out, I knew when I was going through school and into college, I was saying, I don't know what I want to do. And you know, you're filling out CAOs and stuff like that. And I was like, I really don't want to what I want to do. But I knew I wanted to go down the fitness route because once I was in the gym, I loved training. And then when I started getting good at it, I could help people doing it. So I said, well, if I can make a career out of this, this is going to be something when I get up in the mornings, it's not going to be a drag to go to the gym. I'm going to enjoy doing this type of thing. I'm going to enjoy writing about it. So once I said, okay, now I know what I want to do, you just have to put the steps in place. Like anything, it doesn't happen overnight. So like anyone else who's out there who's in a job they don't like and they see, oh, I want to do this instead, it's going to take a while to build with, just like yourself, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. But I think once you realize this isn't where I want to be and then find out where you want to be and just put the steps in place. I suppose you probably did the same. It probably happened a little bit faster for yourself. But I suppose the benefit of me knowing you so well, I can learn from mistakes you made. That's what's probably got me there so fast as well. Like I only started actually personal training 6-7 months ago. And now to be able to actually go into it full time is, it's a dream. I wouldn't have thought it had happened, you know. So from learning from, I suppose, like you've said, oh, learn from my mistakes, small things like that. And just honestly working hard at it. And it's a lot easier, you'll say yourself, work hard at something that you enjoy. It's a lot harder to get up and work hours at something you hate. But when you actually enjoy it, you're going to do overtime. Like it's not going to bother you. So I think that's when I realized, I said, like, you won't go with this, just go for it. So I suppose you can relate to it because you're pretty much the same sector as me.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's literally exactly how my path went. And it's so funny because I can hear some of my words in the way you speak.
Yeah.
Because it just shows how deeply it is. Because I love the Dalai Lama says the three ways of knowing. There's knowing, understanding, and then making it intrinsic so that or making it intuitive that it's inside you and it just becomes a part of your thought process. And it kind of is where you're at now. Yeah. It was very, very similar. It's funny because, as you said, you literally get one go at life. And I love, there's a great book, Robin Sharma's The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. The last chapter in that book is literally the book talks about this monk who was a top sales lawyer, who was a multi-billionaire and who quit everything and literally moved to India, became a monk and came back and was happier about his life. And the last chapter in that book discusses about the deathbed, where you're literally making your decisions based on what you would do at the end of your life. And that's very, very similar how my life path changed. I literally woke up one day, and anyone that doesn't know my backstory, I was a primary school teacher. I did that for 4 years, and I loved teaching. And you can see even in some of my content and videos that's still a huge part of me. I love reading, getting ideas, and then expressing my ideas through, now I just happen to do it through a medium of video and podcasts and radio and things now. But once upon a time, I was doing that in front of a classroom of 30 students.
Yeah.
And I loved that, but it wasn't my path. It wasn't the thing that got me up out of bed every morning. I knew every single Friday I had 2 days off. I knew every single Sunday I was going to work Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And Whereas now I have what's called a non-job, where the life and my job are one and the same, and I don't know what day is Monday, what day is Saturday, because they're all intertwined. And I'm not saying for people to go out and quit their 9 to 5 or do whatever it is, because the truth is you may love what you do and you may love that structure of 9 to 5, your weekends off, you can go out with your friends. And if you're doing that, amazing. The advice in this episode is going to be for people that are trying to be happier and more fulfilled in their life, is find the things that make you so happy that you lose. Mikhail Csikszentmihalyi is he's a Eastern European philosopher that talks about the state of flow, which is like if you play soccer or play football or play basketball or play sport or go to the gym and you literally forget what amount of time it is, or when you're consumed in a book, you're in a state of flow, which basically means that time stands still for you and you're just loving what you do. If you can go in and out of states of flow in what you do in your life, you're going to have the happiest life ever. I know myself that the reason I made the transition over was I loved fitness, I loved training, I loved the gym, very similar to you. And I decided one day that I'm going to try and build my life around this. You know, right now, the things that make me happier than anything else is making videos, making podcasts, creating content, spending time with my little girl and training. So I try and build my entire life around that. And now I just happen to be fortunate enough that my job and my life are one and the same. People will tell you that you can't do that and that it's not practical. Jim Carrey has a great quote that sometimes we have fear is our, we disguise our own fear as practicality. Yeah. That we make up excuses and we'll say, oh, well, you know, I bills to pay and I have things I need to buy and I have a family to feed. And we'll disguise that fear of actually making a change as practicality. And when you go through life making decisions out of fear, you never get the life that you want. You know, and as you said, you made a great point there about having the end goal in mind. And I did a podcast, a motivational podcast on the keys, having the end goal in mind, and then step by step you get ahead, not necessarily in fast spurts. The Charlie Munger quote. Having the end goal in mind and then putting steps in place every single day so that you're moving forward, moving towards that. So in your case, Barry, why fitness? Why, what you kind of mentioned it there, but why personal training? I'm not saying for anybody listening to this, I'm not saying become a personal trainer, yeah. But for me and you, we have similar, it's probably why we bond, is because of our fitness background. Yeah. You have a rugby background, I have a GA background. We both like bodybuilding, training, gym, all of that. Mm-hmm. Why fitness and personal training for you? What made that, why that path?
Yeah, I think probably similar to yourself. Once I could start lifting weights, because I used to be the small guy in the field or at school. So once I could start lifting weights, the idea of getting huge became a big thing for, you know, a teenage boy. Like, you know, you want to be big. But then I suppose I started reading and researching, learning as much as I could about it. And then over time, people kind of get to know you as like, oh, that's Barry the gym guy. Or ask Barry. Barry might tell you, you know. And after a while, if people are coming to you asking for your advice about something you like, I think you're onto a winner. And I was kind of like, yeah, I like this. I like helping people, because there's nothing like, no matter who you are, you like the feeling of helping someone. You do something for someone, that feeling is, it's heartbeat.
Yeah.
So when you can do that with your passion, and then even the idea of making a living out of it, that's gold for me anyway. So like I said, that's not the way it is for everyone. Like, everyone's different. Like, you could be in a completely different sector. Like, you'd be a car mechanic, but you've helped somebody fix their car, they're going to be over the moon. You're going to get that feeling of, God, I worked hard there, but I helped that person. So it doesn't matter if you're on the gym floor, if you're in a garage, or if you're in a hospital, or, you know, it doesn't matter, but it's I think it's the same deep down. It works out the same for all of us. So like yourself, I suppose, it was just that idea of that, like, I'm doing what I love and I can make a passion out of it. It's not like I have to go to a 9 to 5 job and then I can come home and do it for 2 or 3 hours. I can literally do this and make a living out of it. So that was always the dream, and I slowly realized that. Now when you're young, I think you're not thinking about that. You're not thinking about, oh, this is going to pay the bills. You're just thinking, yeah, I like this. I want to be personal training. I want to be in the gym all the time. And over time, you're saying like, okay, can I make money with this? How well can I do it? How big? How big of a name can I get for myself? So that's when you start following people. And I think that's how we probably... Yeah. Bonded or fell in together, you know, in the gym 2 or 3 years ago. We kind of met, and I saw what you were doing, and I was saying, I saw Brian Keane. I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to be like that in 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where we tied in. But yeah, you would have been like me, similar to that, probably.
Similar. It's amazing that you say, because I love it. It's this thought of service. I was at the Pendulum Summit recently with talking to people like Robin Sharma, who actually wrote that Monk Who Sold His Ferrari book.
Yeah,
I was fortunate enough to train with him. Keith Ferrazzi, who's the author of bestseller Never Eat Alone. And they, and my own mentor, Maria, in LA, will always speak of service. She's like, you need to provide service to the world. And I have that. And I've spoken by that where people will ask me on Snapchat and they'll be like, what's your goals in life? What do you do? And I'm like, to serve as many people as I physically can. Like, I put out probably more content than anybody. I've got free eBooks. I put out podcasts. I put out videos. I do Facebook Live workouts. I probably put out more content than anybody. And that's in my wanting to serve the world as much as I can. My life goal is to make the world better because I was here, and to instill that same confidence into my daughter so she will have the same philosophy and she will live her life's path, whatever that looks like for her. You know, this is part of the reason for this episode is it sparked in a question that someone sent me. They're like, what's your life goal? And I'm like, well, my life goal is to make the world better and make it a better place because I was here, and to instill that same thing into Holly, which I think it's something that, because I feel so passionate about it in her, everybody has that ability within them to serve somebody else. How that looks for you is completely different. That may be being an amazing husband, it may be an amazing wife, a great chef, a doctor, a mechanic, a flower cutter, whatever that is and whatever that looks like for you. You have the ability to change the world and provide service for other people and to make the world a better place because you were here. But that comes with being in alignment with your life's path, with going against. Seneca has a great quote that I love, the Stoic, the Letters from a Stoic, where he talks that a man that lives in alignment with his nature will always be happy. A man that lives out of alignment with his nature will never be happy, or in alignment with other people's natures will never be happy. So if you make your whole life's decisions and life path based on where people tell you you should go, you're always going to have that feeling of emptiness. And I get that as someone that was there. And I knew at 16, 17, I wanted to be in fitness. I wanted to be a fitness model at the time. I wanted to provide value in terms of nutrition and fitness in that area, because that's where I was curious. Yeah. You know, like, if you think about what conversation do you have with your closest network? What do you wake up in the morning thinking about? What do you go to bed at night thinking about? For me, from the age of 16 to 26, it was fitness, it was gym, it was training, it was supplements, it was food, because that was where my interest was. After that, you become so conditioned by society and naysayers and your family, and I've had more haters than anybody, and haters are haters. I love fucking haters, because haters will spread your name far and fucking wide and be like, Brian Keane's a fucking dickhead. I'm like, cool, you go talk about me on Snapchat, that's awesome.
Get me trending.
Get me trending, that's fucking sound, thank you, mate. Like, but naysayers, you gotta watch out for too, because naysayers are a big difference. Naysayers are the people who have your interests at heart, but don't want you to go against the grain.
That's where doubt creeps in.
That's where doubt creeps in, and that's where you can get fucking caught. Like, because when somebody is telling you, because you have it in your own head, like, it doesn't matter what level you get to, and I've dealt with it all through my 20s, I'll deal with it into my 30s, and into my 40s, and into my 50s, because doubt will creep in, and everybody fucking has it. The only difference between the successful and quote-unquote unsuccessful is the people that are successful feel the fear, they understand that it's doubt, and they fucking do it anyway. They'll keep going. That's the only difference. If you look at failure, and because this is literally the worst thing that can happen, is you will quote-unquote fail. And failure is a subjective term of thought. Like, I decided about 24 months ago that I was no longer ever going to fail at anything. And the truth is, I haven't since. Because failure is a subjective way you think. You know, you either win or you learn. Because if you do something that doesn't work, you have experimented with one way that doesn't work. If we listened, Thomas Edison took 10,000 attempts to invent the light bulb. 10,000 attempts. When did you ever take an attempt more than 5 times at something? You know, had he not taken 10,000 attempts, we'd be fucking doing this podcast probably by candlelight. Yeah. You know, because he invented the light bulb because on his 10,000 attempt. And what was his quote? I just found 9,999 ways it didn't work. That's when you start approaching life that way, and you know what your path is, and you know what your purpose is, and you do the thing you love to do more than anything else, failure becomes a moot point. It's not a thing. You just find out ways that don't work, and you move that way, because you'll have that self-doubt, you'll have that fear, and you have your network of people. And I've spoken before, my mom was my biggest fan, my dad was my biggest naysayer. Like, if it was up to my dad, who I love, my dad is a great guy, but if it was up to him, I'd still be a fucking teacher in London for 20,000 fucking pound a year struggling to pay my food bill. Like, because he said, well, you stick with a good job, you know, you don't go against the grain, you've got nice holidays there, you have a pension. Play it safe. Yeah. Play it safe. Like, and the truth is, you, of course, when you go and do your own thing, you go against the grain, and it's not quote unquote safe.
And it's not going to look pretty originally either to anyone.
No, it's fucking not. This shit's fucking hard. Like, it's particularly at the beginning because you have that doubt, you know? And this is why you gravitate towards me, and you've spoken before. It's why Paul, one of my other closest friends, gravitates toward me and told me, because I initially didn't have that support network. I tell you now, when you're fearing stuff, I'm like, you just keep fucking going. I was like, get back up, get your content done, get your training done, get your shit done, you know? Like, and I will, and I'll tough love with you, and I'll do the same with Paul, I'll do the same with my network, because I didn't have that, you know? That's why it took me longer. You know, it's why I'm so passionate about it now, because I didn't have somebody to say, you can go fucking do it. I needed to ask for permission. I had this unworthy feeling that why would anyone listen to me? Even though I knew what I was talking about. Like, I absorb information, and I know, because knowing yourself, know thyself, like, I know I can absorb information and contextualize it, which allows me to provide value to people. And I knew I did that, but I didn't feel worthy enough to be able to give that to people. You have that. I'm giving you fucking permission right now to go do that for people. That's what you can do. If it's something you're interested in, know your strengths. You know what you love. What do you spend all of your time thinking about? What do you spend your free time thinking about and doing and discussing with friends? Do you love movies? Go find a way to build your life around movies. Do you love reading? Find a way to build your life around books. Yeah. It doesn't matter what that looks like for you. You can provide service. You can provide value. And you can do anything you want to do. I literally said this on my Snapchat yesterday. I'm a fucking farm boy from Connemara in a village of 200 people. And now I've got a podcast that's starting to go international. I do business in the US and travel around the world. I'm not saying this to be ego or boastful. It's to give context to the situation that people told me I couldn't do it, and I'm fucking doing it. Had I listened, I would still be working in a fucking primary school in London. You know, that's the only difference. The only difference between people that are doing what they love and the people that aren't is they have let the fear stop them. They've let the naysayers in, and they've let the doubt creep in. I'm telling you now, you do not need permission. And if you do, I'm fucking giving it to you. Because it took me so long, and I needed somebody to rev me and give me a kick up the arse at 26, 27 when I had to figure this out for myself. It's why it touches such a nerve now. You know?
And I suppose, do you find as well, as people, the realization, sometimes it hits people when they're in their 30s or their 40s, and then they realize, they're like, oh, why didn't I do this 10, 20 years ago? Like, yeah. And regret is the worst feeling. Regret is worse than failure.
Oh, there's your deathbed. There's your deathbed. You look, if you were ever in doubt about what your life path should do or any decision you should make in your life, I do the deathbed test. I literally go, 97-year-old Brian, looking back on life, how would I feel about this situation when I was 29 years old, when I'm 97? If I look back and go, it doesn't fucking matter, then the decision's obviously not that important.
Yeah.
You know? And I make decisions based out of that, because regret's a horrible thing. You know? And that realization of regret is even worse. You know, you're better to nearly live in the ignorance of it. But the truth is, go through your life. Don't have regrets, because what happens, it comes back down to your fear of failure. You know, or what's worse, and this will self-sabotage more people than failure ever will, the fear of fucking success. What if I do get what I want and I can't handle it? Yeah. That's where people get fucking scared. What if I do get the perfect partner and she leaves me? What if I do get the perfect house and my mortgage, I can't pay my mortgage? What if I do get the perfect job and people realize I'm not good with it? What if I do become a personal trainer and people realize I'm shit? The fear of fucking success will sabotage more than the fear of failure ever will. And I'm telling you, as somebody that's done this, and I had this for a long period of time, and I had to do a lot of work on my mindset and a lot of work on my own neurology in my brain to make me conditioned to believe that that is a real thing that's happening. There's a fear of success that people have, and that's going to fucking stop more people than the fear of failure ever will. I think we'll leave it there for now. So a massive thank you to my guest, Barry, for coming on. Really, really, literally the best person I could have gotten the episode now, because he's making that transition out. So I hope you guys got a lot of value from this episode. To find out more information on Barry, where's the best place for people to get you?
Yeah, on Facebook and Instagram at O'Sullivan Fitness, and Snapchat, BOSully92.
Nice. Definitely check out his Q&As on Snapchat. He started doing those the last while. Good value on there. So check out his Snapchat. And for more information on me, to find out any more about my online program, which is my online program that Fat Loss, Build Muscle and Tone Up, go over to my website, www.brankyfitness.com, or for the GA Lean Body, which is the combination program of performing better and building muscle and losing body fat, or whatever your goals are, and I work in combination with that to get you the physique you want and perform better, over on my website, brankyfitness.com. My blog and newsletter are on there as well, and my Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube is all Brian Keane Fitness. My Snapchat, BrianK019. Thanks for listening. Catch you guys soon.